and this material will be used by other people and can be broadcast or transcribed in different languages. In a few years, when I say a few years, I'm not saying how many years, but in a few years, I'll be known in every country in the world. Now this material will reflect the beginning of this whole movement, and the people who will be in charge of distributing it, in one way or another, will be in a vibration that will enable them to understand the whole plan linked to it. Whereas today, as I said earlier, I'm leaving the material in the hands of Mr. X so that it remains anonymous until the day I cease my activities. But you will still have access to the material through Mr. X. Then I'll get the evening started. There are certain things that the man of the future, when I speak of the man of the future, I'm talking about those men and women who, over time, will become conscious in the sense that their consciousness will no longer be psychological, but vibratory. These men, who will have this vibratory consciousness, will understand things that cannot be understood psychologically, and it is this vibratory understanding that will define the limits of the fifth race with the sixth. You can already begin to understand what I mean. Where before you could converse psychologically with men with great ease, little by little it's becoming more and more painful, and eventually it will become very difficult for you, not because you don't want to converse with men, but because the very nature of your vibratory consciousness will have been altered to such an extent that any discourse on the psychological value of life will be useless, while any exchange with beings who have been vibratorily adjusted will enable you to talk endlessly about the nature of things. And the condition of this new equilibrium is not a condition established by man, but one established by the forces that penetrate man, and it is precisely because of this condition, which is supramental, suprahuman, but also, at the same time, totally united with human consciousness, that man will eventually be able to understand infinity, to enter into direct intelligence with the intelligences that roam the supersensible worlds, and for the first time to open up, on this planet, fields of activity that today seem like science fiction to man who bases his awareness of reality on reason. We don't have much time, in other words, humanity doesn't have much time to grasp the vibratory nature of consciousness. And it's because of this very short time that movements are springing up all over the world today, to enable, in the 90s, a very great affiliation between men belonging to different systems of thought, to different systems of intuitive philosophies, who must one day or other unite, rally in a vibration that is the one you are beginning, today in Quebec, to grasp. The reality of the future is not in your hands. The conception, the understanding, the way of seeing, the way of realizing, the way of projecting is entirely beyond your capacity today, because you don't yet have the vibration. Your vibration is not fully adjusted in the sense that your mind is not perfect, and your mind not being perfect, you are unable to dialogue perfectly with the invisible, and for this reason, to understand the laws of life that affect you and of which you will one day become aware. There's an extremely vast, extremely concrete element in the movement of universal consciousness on the planet that you need to understand, and that element is lying. Let me explain the nature and function of lies in the evolution of a civilization or race. The lie is a distortion of reality which serves to imbue man's mind with a quality of reality, but by means of his emotion, in order to either prevent man from knowing certain things, or on the subjective level, allow man, who is the vehicle for it, to interfere with another person's lack of understanding. Lying, in itself, is extremely simple, extremely complex, extremely necessary, and fundamental to the evolution of every civilization in every cosmos. No civilization, in any cosmos, is free of lies. Whether the lie is on a global, cosmic level, or whether the lie is the individual psychological expression of a man, the lie is always governed by the same law, that of reducing to a minimum the distance of another ego for the pursuit of the evolutionary laws of one form of intelligence or another. Let me give you a personal example. You have a child, you have a girlfriend. The evening before, you went out with someone else, and the next day you're asked, "Did you go out yesterday?" Then you say, "No." You say no, because if he were objective, you could say yes. If he had no emotion, you could say, "Yes, last night I went out, I had fun with such and such a person." And being objective, you'd say, "Well, did you have fun?" You'd say, "Yes." But not being objective, you're forced to say no. It forces you to say no because of his subjectivity. So automatically you're forced to lie because of subjectivity. On an evolutionary, global, and cosmic level, it's all the same. For centuries, man has been subject to lies. This lie was necessary because man's emotions would have turned reality into such a fantasy that he would never have been able to become a man today. The most concrete example we can find in history is the contact between man on Earth and man from other galaxies. When these people came to our planet, they turned them into gods. So lying was essential, but lying is interpreted differently in different civilizations. In some civilizations, lying is a mind game. Examples include the Arabian countries and the Semitic peoples. For them, lying is normal. If you compare the psychology of Islam with the psychology of Christianity, it's like black and white. In Islam, we lie because it serves us. In Christianity, we don't lie because it's not good, it's not beautiful. So the psychological reason for lying in different parts of the world is different. And people who don't know the laws of lying and the relativity in which they evolve are incapable, on their own, of escaping the vibration of lying, which lies in emotion, and automatically suffer from it. And the first pain in the ego of man who suffers from lying is guilt, remorse for having lied. And these are absolutely idiotic forms, absolutely primitive, absolutely backward, but they were essential when man had emotions, in order to prevent man, and then humanity, from lying to each other, in order to prevent humanity from delaying the psychological equilibrium of its civilization, delaying the essential relationships between men, between governments, between tribes, between societies. It's essential. And yet today, in the Western world, through the medium of television, we are lied to every day, in marketing, in products. A product is presented to the public as being the best in the world, and this is not true. Today, modern man has become more flexible in lying and doesn't suffer as much from lying on a moral level, but he does suffer from it, today, now more than ever, on an emotional level. So that today's humanity becomes more and more tense, becomes more and more worried, and becomes more and more anxious, because the more you lie to someone, if he doesn't understand the nature of the lie, why you lie, the law of lying, then over time, he becomes more and more depressed, because over time, he loses more and more the ability to establish with the one who lies to him, exact, precise, and totally fraternal relationships. Hence the great loneliness of modern man. Hence the great anxiety of modern man, who has to face up to all the extraordinarily complex systems that fall upon him every day and lie to him. The man of tomorrow, the man of the sixth race, the supramental man, the man who has transmuted emotion into spirit, the individualized man, the crystallized man, the self-centered man, doesn't suffer from the lies of others, because first of all he knows that he is being lied to. Since he has no subjective emotion towards others, because he has no subjective emotion towards himself, the lies of others towards himself are unimportant, because lying becomes a mind game for him. Being in touch with spirit, he can easily know from spirit that someone is lying to him. Knowing that someone is lying to him, he no longer suffers for not knowing. So automatically, he has another security of his own, which serves to amplify the certainty he has that everything that passes between two men, everything that manifests itself on the level of language between two men, is always a game of the mind. And when man understands that relations between men are in fact relations in the games of the mind, he no longer suffers from men. He can simply suffer from the spirit. And when man begins to suffer from spirit, he begins to become aware of the spirit. And when he becomes aware of the spirit, he becomes more and more intelligent, because he gradually begins to understand the laws of the spirit. And it's at this point that he begins to develop another psychology, which is supramental psychology, or the psychology of the higher spirit, which enables him, once and for all, to destroy the forms that are at the very root of lies and to free himself on the psychological level. Because on the vibratory level, he is already in tune with the universal spirit. Man turns towards himself, enters himself, lives in himself, is in himself, all that matters is himself, not on an egoic level, but on the level of vibratory consciousness within him. And if he turns his gaze outwards, if he looks at the world falling into decay, if he looks at civilization falling into decay, it doesn't matter to him anymore, because he's no longer influenced, he's no longer weakened, he's no longer disgusted by the lie of decadent society. And, at that point, having to continue his dialogue with man because dialogue, communication, is the very foundation of the description of the relationship between spirit and man, through men he finally turns to beings who are in tune with him, who understand the laws of lies, who understand the laws of spirit, and at that point, man begins to build on the crumbled foundation of an old materialistic psychology, the foundations of a new, vital, powerful, creative, indestructible psychology. And as time progresses, this psychology spreads throughout the world because it is not controlled or directed by the laws of man. So the sixth race spreads, understands, sees, feels, and looks at itself, and undertakes, within itself according to the creative vibratory power of its members, to develop civilization according to the laws of unity, according to the laws of universal consciousness. What I'm telling you today, you'll understand. And when you understand it, you will understand me. And when you understand me, you'll understand yourself. And when you understand yourself, you'll be alone, not because you want to be alone, but because solitude is the only real popularity at home. When you're alone, you're fine, because then you don't owe the other anything you exchange. And just as in the old civilization, man owed something to others, so in the new, man will exchange with them. And it's in the mechanism of exchange that man will come to know the great virtues of the other, and realize, within himself, what he can give to a society of which he is not precisely the active agent, but rather the channel. So the lies, not the Christian lies, or the Islamic lies, or the Buddhist lies, the lie that is defined in the law as the vibratory refinement of reality through form. When you understand it, you will be free of it, and at that moment, you will be in knowledge. And when you're in knowledge, you'll see that what you'll be is not what you think you'll become one day. Knowledge is not what you think it is, and it's none of your business what knowledge is. What is your business is the consciousness that gives knowledge. As long as you're looking for knowledge, you're outside knowledge. You can't look for something without being in it. It's a contradiction of the spirit. And when you are in something, you are that something. And at that moment, the perception you have of that something is totally different from what you believed before. And, as you advance towards this knowledge, you are obliged to pass through the forest of lies, because it's only by destroying the law of lies within yourself that you reach knowledge. Lies are like an accumulation of thorns surrounding a fortress. Knowledge, on the other hand, is protected by lies, and it's only when man manages to overcome this crown of thorns around the fortress that he is totally free of this crown, and enters easily, smiling, into the fortress of knowledge. I'm telling you, and I'm warning, not just you, but I'm warning all mankind that one day the whole of humanity will face the greatest of cosmic lies, the greatest lie imposed on the consciousness of mankind, and that will be contact between man and extraterrestrials. The psychological power of this lie on mankind's consciousness will be so great that a large part of humanity will lose control over itself and become fodder for superior intelligences coming to the planet in search of a humanity that will serve their needs, instead of coming to the planet to meet mankind, at last. Those who have overcome the lie and understand the law of lies will see other entities, and it is these entities and towards these entities that they will move. And it is with these entities that they will work to build a new civilization. But you can't know without fighting the lie. And when I talk about fighting the lie, I'm not talking about fighting the lie in the traditional form of the battle of truth against falsehood, the battle of light against darkness, the battle of beauty against ugliness. I'm talking about that state of mind which enables man to be totally above the polarity of the forces directing the evolution of the universe, the great neutrality. The direct contact between man and the forces directing his evolution which are part of himself. And it is only then that man is able to work with forces, whether positive or negative, and never be tainted by them. And very few people will be able to live this experience, because it is totally outside the form. The most important things in the evolution of systems are always hidden, and can only be understood once we've walked the path, which naturally leads us to their understanding. It is not written that man must know everything, it is written that man must understand everything. And when man understands everything, he knows everything, but it's not the same knowledge, it's a knowledge that's different from what he thinks it is. That's why the illusion of knowledge is so vast. The lie is so pervasive on all planes of reality, even the spiritual ones, that man himself is incapable of knowing that he knows. And it's when we know, that we're sure of being sure. And it's then that man becomes superior to himself, and is able, at that moment, to work with any intelligence coming from anywhere in the cosmos, and to enter into friendly, universal, constructive, creative relations with this intelligence, which serve the evolution of the cosmos and not the perdition or destruction of one civilization or another. Tomorrow's man will have to completely relearn what he knows. Science will have to completely overturn its vision of things, because what will come tomorrow is no longer part of man's domain, but is part of the galaxy's domain, and the galaxy's domain is far ahead of man's domain in time, so that for those of us who are now beginning to advance towards vibratory consciousness, the essential thing is to be able, with great sensitivity and as much humility as possible, to listen to what we have to hear from our disposition, to listen to words that don't come from man, but from the planes with which man can be linked. And this is man's way out, and the corridor is very narrow, because the corridor must be narrow. Man must totally relearn what he knows, must totally reclaim what he has lost. He has to recapture what he is no longer able to feel. And it is through this penetrating vibration, every day, every week, every month, every year, every decade, that man eventually comes to contemplate in a conscious, positive, visual way the intelligences that direct evolution and are at the very basis of all the great vital conceptions we call the cosmos. As long as we think, we are unable to see. And this new position, this new awareness, is essential, because it's part of a new evolutionary cycle. And even if man refuses, or doesn't want, or worries, or is anxious about losing what he has conquered with great difficulty, what he has tried to keep safe, for security, for centuries, one day he will have to erect a new temple at the end of the old race. As individuals with whom I speak, I tell you that what you know today, what you feel today, is a small aspect of what one day you will know, and you must, little by little, move towards this, without turning your lives upside down with the emotion of what you think you are, or the emotion of what you believe you are, or the emotion of what you conceptualize. I always speak to you 5 years in advance, and in 5 years you'll understand clearly what I've told you 5 years before. The reason I speak to you 5 years in advance is to prevent you from subjecting your minds to a manifestation of power. As long as your minds are not subject to the manifestation of a power, your minds grow on their own. If time were to be brought forward and power were to be used to accelerate the development of your vibration, it would be done, but it's better for you to move forward in your own energy than to move forward, backed by my force. This is why the time ahead of you is long, and it will be long, but at a certain point it will no longer be long, because time will no longer exist. When it no longer exists, your vibratory consciousness will be sufficiently elevated to enable you to live each day in the ever-increasing penetration of this vibratory consciousness, which one day will bring you into contact with reality. The lie, the understanding of the lie, is essential. One day or another, you'll find yourself forced to lie, and when you're conscious of your act, you'll also have the understanding of your act, and you'll see that the lie you're forced to make will be essential to prevent you from wasting energy for nothing. It will no longer be a moral lie. It will no longer be a psychological lie. It will be a psychological formula that serves to save you from wasting energy, because then you won't have any more energy to waste. When two people are on the same wavelength, lying is unnecessary. When two people are on different wavelengths, lying becomes essential, in certain cases when emotions are running high, and every one of you has lied in your life. I'll continue. The people, men who are closest to understanding certain things at the level of the spiritual life, are those who will have to understand the law of lies the most, for two very simple reasons. People who have advanced along the path of astral understanding of forms, those who have advanced along the esoteric path, the occult path, have developed, within themselves, a certain vibration. But these same people, at some point in their lives, will be obliged to reconstitute what they have learned through inner intuition and the inner mechanisms of astral consciousness, in order to free themselves totally from the form, whether spiritual, universal, or absolute, of their experience. Men who have been in contact with spiritual masters, who have understood occult or esoteric or veiled aspects of spiritual consciousness, will, at some point in their future lives, have to totally reconstitute the domain of their knowledge by being obliged, by themselves, to destroy the form that served their spiritual evolution. I'm talking especially about those who have been initiated, either personally or by others, to conquer, to become aware of certain inner experiences that are themselves subject to the laws of cosmic falsehood. For those who haven't had these experiences, the problem doesn't exist on this scale, but rather on the scale of moral psychology, and work on them will be essentially less thorough in this direction. But all human beings will one day have to reconstitute in themselves and by themselves what is real, and man has been given, by vibratory resonance, the ability to perfectly interpret the duality of all forms that serve to convey on the human plane, in human experience, any aspect of knowledge. And this mechanism, this tool, has already been installed in human consciousness on Earth, and simply consists of enabling the individual to question everything that influences his mind. Everything man receives as information from other planes must at some point in his life, in his experience, be called into question, and when I say everything, I mean absolutely everything. And the man who will not be able to reconstitute the form that is imposed in his mind, because of his links with a certain level of consciousness, will be unable to destroy in himself the core that constitutes the essential part of the reality of the spiritual lie, because the cosmic lie is a spiritual lie, and when I say a spiritual lie, I mean a lie that is imposed by the spirit world beyond the possibilities of unveiling by the rational human ego. The vibration I'm transmitting to you this evening is essentially formulated on an energy level to enable you, at some point in the future, to recognize, within yourself, a single judge of all that is sent to your mind and which must constitute, for you, one form of knowledge or another. And it is in the power of this vibration that you will find within yourself the vibratory capacity to thwart all the senses, all the contradictions and all the contradictions of the spirit on your mind, so that you can one day be totally liberated from knowledge coming from entities, intelligences, outside yourself. When you are free of these communications, these formulations, these forms, even though these forms are uplifting, spiritualizing, you will, at that moment, have the ability to receive the burden of knowledge on your own shoulders. But the burden will not be psychological, because you will no longer be attached to form. And from then on, you'll have very strong shoulders, enabling you to give those who come after you a form of knowledge that will be directly linked to the vibration of the soul you've known throughout this pilgrimage through the immense forest of lies. The man of tomorrow will essentially be a superman, he will essentially be a superior being. He will essentially be a being to whom no lie can be told, and from whom no knowledge can be withheld. But in order to reach this stage of mental perfection, this man will have to recognize in his experience, in the course of his evolution, intuitively, later vibrationally, this energy within him, this vibration within him, which lets him know that what he receives is not right, that what he receives is conditional, that what he sees is not right. That what he sees is the apparent face of a reality that is much deeper and much more vast, but a reality whose weight he can only bear when emotion and spirit have been totally separated. There's a natural weakness in man, and I'm expressing this weakness for the first time in human history, because man today is ready to conquer the heights of his consciousness and establish extremely close relations with the invisible worlds. And this thing, which needs to be amplified in human consciousness in order to release great energy within it, is this. God doesn't exist. When I say that God doesn't exist, I'm not saying that God doesn't exist. I say that the God of man does not exist, because the God of man is not the absolute God. Man's God is not absolute reality. The God of man is not the reality that manifests itself to him when he is in a state to receive the powerful energy of light. Man's God is a phantom created by man through his feelings to facilitate his pilgrimage on the material plane. man's God is a psychological essentiality, a philosophical essentiality, a moral essentiality that has protected him for centuries against the advancing ramparts of barbarism. To ask, does God exist? Is a pointless question, because it's part of man's thinking mechanism. Asking whether God exists is a fundamentally human question, rooted in man's emotional nature. When man is conscious, when man is man, he no longer asks whether God exists, since he knows that everything that is comes from absolute perfection, and this absolute perfection is not in the realm of his own galaxy. So that the manifestations in the galaxy of the principles of this absolute perfection are not in the psychological realm of man, but in the realm of man's power. And it is when man is in the power of his consciousness that he will have access to perfect and total knowledge of what he conceives to be essentiality, in other words, the concept of God. Man can no longer afford to waste emotional energy organizing a mental puzzle in search of an infinity whose beginning or end he is unable to understand. The imposition of a concept of God on human consciousness is part of man's primitive history, and man will one day have to reconstitute the form that served his psychological and spiritual evolution, eventually destroying all forms.